Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green-Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Grown Up Stuff.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The business of America is small business. No guru I know sees small business sharper than Gene Marks, who writes a column for the Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, also for our hometown newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and publishes in other distinguished publications. We begin with good news. Gene, a very good evening to you. The reason I pay attention to construction more than anything else is that it is a way of talking about family formation, which is a way of talking about shopping and growth. How does it look for 2025? Good evening to you, Gene.
Hey, John. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I consider the construction industry, both commercial and residential, to be such a critical industry, particularly for the small businesses that I write about and my clients as well. There are so many small and mid-sized companies that are both directly and indirectly affected by how the construction industry is going. And, you know, the industry has been quite fragmented over the past couple of years. I mean, it has remained, growing. It's just not at the same, pace. Obviously, personal and residential real estate sales have been stagnant because of high interest rates. And because of those high interest rates as well, they have been pulling back on construction projects. You and I love to talk about the Architects Billings Index, and that index has remained to be like in the doldrums. But here we have a positive forecast. It comes from the Association of the Wall and Ceiling Industry. This is made up of companies that, they do exterior and internal and interior framework for both residential and commercial companies, and these are very, very important part of the industry. I've actually spoken to this group a number of times, and they're a very interesting group. So they are predicting growth in the construction industry, hopefully anywhere, around 2-3% growth in construction spending. They are looking, because they're factoring in the fact that interest rates will continue to come down a little bit, more confidence in the economy. Hopefully a continuing strong stock market and savings market that will bolster both businesses and, individuals to, spend a little bit more. And just overall economic confidence going into 2025 with a more pro-business administration. There's, a lot of talk about businesses making more investments in their property plan and equipment, too. So, this is one organization. Again, it's the Association of the Wall and Ceiling Industry that are quite bullish about the construction industry as we head into 2025. And that's certainly welcome news for the people that have been really struggling in that industry over the past few years.
Hiring bounced back with 227,000 new jobs. This is the Wall Street Journal reporting in these last hours. The labor market rebounded, writes the Journal, as workers sidelined by storms got back on the job. Thousands of striking Boeing employees returned to work. I hope this is good news, Gene, because the Federal Reserve is on the spot here.
Yeah, it's funny, John, how and again, with all due respect to the Wall Street Journal, which happens to be one of my favorite, I read it every day and absolutely love it. I still get surprised how much attention and how much news gets put around some of the numbers that are issued by the government, John. This number will be revised multiple times before it's actually finalized. I mean, it was just late last year where even the New York Times reported that the jobs that the government, this same Bureau of Labor statistics that we're reporting in, throughout 2024, that were overstated by more than 800,000 new jobs. They say that were created that weren't. So, it's done by a survey. It's revised. When I look at jobs, I like to look at real job numbers from real companies that are in that business. And, you know, I recommend to your listeners, there are two sources if you really want to know what's going on in the labor market in this country. One is ADP, who has, you know, millions of employees that are they're a payroll processor, an HR company. ADP, you know, released their numbers for jobs, and they said that private sector employment increased by 146,000. It's a positive report, so that does dovetail into what the Bureau of Labor Statistics says. They also said, interestingly enough, that annual pay was up 4.8% year over year. 4.8%, John. So that's a good sign for workers. That's like, you know, significantly more than what inflation is running right now. So that's why people can go out and spend. Paychecks focuses more on small business employment. They said that employment remained relatively consistent in this last month. They look at payrolls of, you know, hundreds of thousands of workers as well. And they say that, you know, certain markets in the country, particularly, you know, in the Midwest and the South, continue to remain strong. So, you know, those actual numbers from Paychex and ADP, they actually do dovetail into what the Bureau of Labor Statistics is reporting. And that's good. But I favor the numbers from the payroll companies over what the government is telling me. And the fact that they are consistent with each other is great news. But I pay more attention to those. And the bottom line is the labor market continues to be strong.
Wall Street Journal caveat: Friday's report does make it easier for Fed officials to leave rates on hold if the Labor Department's November inflation report due out next Wednesday comes in warmer than they would like. So we're in a moment here, Gene, where we could see another interest rate cut, which will help the housing market come the spring, or they could hold off. So we'll move away from these big stories and move to where there is strength. There's lots of strength in the economy. We go to the services index, and that is America's economy. The services. Yep. We're very good at it, and we're trying to teach other countries who struggle, like the United Kingdom, that services are the way to the future, not manufacturing necessarily. And it continues to grow. That has to be a strength that people don't talk about, Gene. They talk about the factory, but they don't talk about services.
Yes. You know, it is the service industry in this country is strong and has been strong for a number of months. In fact, according to the Institute of Supply Managers, which are, you know, it's an association of supply managers, they extract data from their members, both on the service and the manufacturing side. And on the service side, although the index itself decreased a bit in this past month, it has still been in expansion mode for the 51st time in the past 54 months. It's been expanding. So people that are in professional services, consumer services, we're talking about landscapers and architects and consultants and, you know, firms that provide all sorts of business services, development, technology services like my firm. They've all been doing strong. They've been strong for 4 years, even 4.5 years, which is great news. Now, the ISM has not released their manufacturing index yet. That's coming out shortly. That has been the opposite story. Manufacturing in this country has continued to be in contraction over the past, you know, year to 2 years, despite a lot of funding coming from the government through things like the CHIPS Act and the Inflation Reduction Act. So there's two stories to tell in this country, but, you know, it's the services side that are doing very, very well. I think the Trump administration, through tariffs and whatnot, they're you know, they want to focus on trying to build up manufacturing. The Biden administration did the same. There was a big, you know, concern of theirs as well. It's the manufacturers in this country that really need more attention. So we'll see what happens with them over the next few years.
The Beige Book also wants to be positive. Economic activity rose slightly in most districts. This is the federal government reporting. Gene, it occurs to me that the economy is not showing signs of weakness.
No.
We've always been waiting for that secret recession to show up. Do you see it anywhere hinted here?
I am not. I continue to see, decent, retail sales and consumer sales. We've had good reports from the major retailers. When you look at the banks' earnings reports, and by the way, it's another place you want to go to really understand, you know, the capital situation in this country is you listen closely to what the banks are saying, and you hear the earnings reports from Citibank and Capital One and Wells Fargo, and all of them are reporting strong balance sheets and actually a contraction in their loan reserves. Then the federal, you know, the Federal Reserve does its beige book, which is really a survey of businesses in various regions around the country, and that came in as moderate growth. The economy itself is not, we're not in a booming time. There are certainly areas of the country that are doing better than others, but we're certainly in a fairly good, strong position. Unemployment remains, you know, historically low. You know, growth itself, GDP, has been pretty good. And, you know, again, capital has been strong. So there's just no red flags or warning signs to me, John, as we head into 2025, that we're heading into some kind of major recession. The only thing that concerns me is just any buildup or inflation in asset values that are out there. The stock market continues to grow without reason. And obviously, deficits continue to grow. And, you know, things like cryptocurrencies and digital currencies are, you know, these are bubble markets. And, you know, when those things burst, and they will, that's going to turn around and, you know, have a reverberating impact on the rest of the economy. I don't think it's going to be significant enough to, you know, push us into a recession, but it might push us back a few steps, if that makes sense.
Consolidating at lower levels is the polite way of saying it, Gene.
True.
Yes, but burst is what happens. Gene Marks is a small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.